our way of doing it. And how do we achieve these goals? By raising awareness or responsibility. So I mentioned that. In the raising awareness and responsibility with parties to the conflict, we have three main way of doing it. The first one is trying to convince them by communication act. Talk to them that they have to abide by the international humanitarian law, that there's something that is universal and everybody has to abide. So that's the first one. Second one, if it doesn't work, we have what we call mobilization. So we will talk to a group, a state, or a religious leader, or diaspora that has an influence of certain countries or certain groups to try to abide by that. So we do that as well a lot across the globe to try to convince them. This is all done, as I said, in a confidential manner. So people don't know what's going on in many places, but how we do it. So this is called mobilization. Then if nothing really works, and at the end we have the denunciation means. And it's something that ICRC is extremely careful, because the denunciation piece, the moment you go public and you denounce certain countries or certain groups publicly, the consequences for not only the people, the ICRC staff in the country, but also the people we serve might be dramatic. Basically, we might have to leave the country within 24 hours. People that we had access before will be cut off immediately, and then there will be no more international organization working in that country. So that's the piece that we take very seriously. And as far as you remember, since I joined the ICRC in 99, we went into the negotiation only one that I can remember. Then the support, I mentioned before, we can support the authorities to help them in getting, for example, in a detention center. If they don't have the standards that are adequate to that, we can advise them to raise the standards to have a detention basis that is according to international standards. And then the substitution, this is what we do when there is no more states or anything else, and the ICRC is the only actor that has access to a place, so we can try to fix the water treatment plant, we can try to fix a power station, as we have done in CAR in many cases. And then we go to the ambulance. To make things more simple, we have three different ones. We have the Red Cross, which is at the origin of everything. Misunderstood often by a religious symbol, it's actually not. It's the Swiss flag that reverse. Instead of the white cross, it's the red cross. And the Swiss flag is not a religious symbol, it's a Masonic symbol, so we're not quite sure where it came from. And then we have the Red Crescent that came after that. So a lot of national society are using the Red Crescent. Some national society that are majority Muslim countries are using the Red Crescent, some are not. I'm talking about Indonesia, for example. It's the largest many Muslim countries in the world, and they use the Red Cross. So it's not according to the religion, it's based on the choice of the national society in the country. And then we have the Red Crystal, and I'm going to let you explain that.
So even if there is no religious connotation to the cross and the crescent, for some population, there might be. So the position of the movement is not necessarily to try to explain it and sell it, but find a solution for areas where this perception did not allow us to do a job. Mainly at that time that the Red Cross was adopted, and we were very active in occupied territories in Palestine and Israel. ICRC has been present in light since 1968, so this is not a new question. The use of the cross and the crescent was a problematic. And at that time, the whole of the international conference, so all the states came back to the drafting table and they adopted a third additional protocol. So if you have an exam on IHL, that's the geeky part. There's a third protocol after the 1977. We have one that's 2005, just to create a new emblem. Why is that so important? Because this is what protects the humanitarian worker of the Red Cross. We have a strict policy of not keeping weapons, so we don't have protection. Other NGOs might use it, but this is the protection that our people are going to feel, and that embodies our own principle. So you will have the Red Crystal. That's neutral. We were trying to find something that was very neutral. What's more neutral than a square put on its head? That's the compromise that we've reached. You might see some logos, so you might see the David Magid Adam, so the Star of David, inside of the Red Crystal. That's something that's accepted by the movement. Why? Because we want to get to the population that needs it, and we need to show that we're neutral and impartial. This is the way to actually show it visibly, so we went through a lot of work to be able to use those symbols. And you have other examples, so this is the logo of the RCRC. logo of the Federation and different types of logos. Just quickly, the emblem is protected under Canadian law, so it's protected under criminal law and the Copyright Act. So my very, very first job as a very junior lawyer was to send cease and desist to veterinarian clinics, health clinics in Montreal, using the Red Cross, actually raising awareness on why they should use a different shade of red, or they should use a green cross, because this is a symbol that's really, really important. So being a lawyer, it's not always about going into court, but maybe raising awareness. So that was my first experience as a very young volunteer with the Red Cross. We do have a video that I'll share with you by email, so you can look at it. It's a story about love, not a story about war. I think it touches on the dehumanization sometimes of the enemy, and this is something, this is a video that's dating a few years, but it speaks to me a lot in the current context. So I invite you to watch it if you have time on your own time. And
stats can be hard to understand, but this one isn't. Nearly 1 in 4 people can't afford food in Canada. What does food insecurity look like where you live? Look up your address at foodsecuritynow.ca. That's foodsecuritynow.ca. Join Community Food Centers Canada in making a difference today.
And we are back. I hope everyone here enjoyed the segment of the Red Cross panel record. I think it's pretty interesting how they show off all of the goals of the organization, how the Geneva Convention, which by the way is being celebrated like past Tuesday for its 75th birthday. How it connects to the humanitarian side of all of us. So the global conflicts that we constantly see unfolding everywhere, they are all so overwhelming. But at the same time, organizations like the Red Cross constantly remind us that there are people on the ground doing the work to bring relief, support, and ultimately hope. So if you're someone who's been thinking about making a difference, maybe consider how you can get involved. It can be maybe volunteering, donating, or even exploring a career in humanitarian aid. Every little bite helps. Let me think. Do stories like these inspire you? And if you ever had an experience with the Red Cross, I'd love to hear about it. You can text us on 778-782-2573, and I can share here with everyone. So, moving on, I'd like to invite everyone to hear one more song from the Red Cross. Not from the Red Cross organization, but the band Red Cross. You can find all of our songs that are being played during this show on the website just a little after. And the song name is Born Innocent, so I hope you enjoy it.
I'm I'm DJ Coco.
And I'm DJ Star.
Come join us for Slumber Party, Tuesdays at 6 p.m.
You'll hear female artists, oversharing, and research on health, psychology, and identity.
Hope to see you there.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed a little bit of We Are Born Innocent by Red Cross. It's definitely an energetic song, as I told you, everyone. This is an energetic show today. We have good news. We have good segments. We have good people. And next, we have a good transition from global connections to community ones. So what I'm hoping here today is that we can shift the gears to another really cool story, this time about art and intergenerational connection. So stay with me as I introduce Jack Chen's story, his son, and the history of an artist that used his heritage to build bridges between generations. You don't want to miss it. Yeah. Okay, so can I ask your name?
My name is Sammy.
Sammy? And your father's name?
Jackson.
Jackson. Yes. So today I'm here at an art event.
Sharing project at the Coquillan Heritage Society.
Yes, and thank you for that. I just wanted to ask you, what is this event about, what we're sharing here today?
Yes, so this is actually a specific project, a pilot project actually, the first time that Coquillan Heritage Society is doing, called the Intergenerational Sharing Project. They actually put out an open call, so we applied. And because the language barrier, I actually helped my dad apply. We wrote a proposal about the work that my dad has been doing for like over 50 years, you know. And one of the biggest parts about the project is that you have to be a senior artist. And then I think they really want to empower immigrant and underrepresented senior artists as well, so which you don't get to see that very much, right? So it was a very unique open call, and I thought it's perfect for my father because we've been doing an intergenerational art project since COVID started. And it was a time where we actually took a little break from work and then have more family kind of a time, right? And then we figure out, it's kind of a long story, but we basically figured out that like my dad, he was turning 70, and then we were trying to find a way to empower immigrant artists because they never felt like home in Canada so much. So then if he wants to do like a big retrospective art show, he has to go back to his hometown to do it, right? So then we started having conversation around how to give back to the last generation. So it's what I'm doing to my father's generation and how much they sacrifice as an elder immigrants, like in their generation, they sacrifice pretty much all their career to come in here. So then people like me can benefit from their sacrifice and the things they already built up, right? So we started doing this project called Retrospective, which I can send you more material. And then it's an ongoing kind of series of projects where we do collaboration when there's an opportunity. So then either we'll focus on interactive arts and digital art process using my dad's like 50 years of painting, like hundreds of paintings, we'll digitize them and make into interactive work, or we do live performance. Sometimes he will do live painting and we will dance and do performance kind of work, or live music work with his painting. You know, we did so many different kind of collaboration, and this one is specifically focusing on community engagement with the Coquillan community here. This is the most community-driven project so far. A lot of time has been more, I would say it's more prestigious. Like sometimes we do bigger shows, and then this one we really focus more on my father's work, his philosophy. So, and then doing workshop for the, you know, the community here. So last night we had an artist talk about his Eastern philosophy, how he integrates like Taoism in his work, and how he integrates like Western and Eastern technique and into new practice, and also how he kind of he's been researching and specializing in right brain and spatial thinking since like probably 40 years ago now. So the whole idea of education is quite unique. So we kind of talked quite a bit about that, and I did a whole translation for him because, you know, language still is hard for him, but I don't want him to feel disconnected, right? So he, I think he's really happy right now, like bringing his like friends here, and then we do have like They set out in a really unique way. There is like Christmas photo shoot happening, so people can come by and talk to him. So there is more of like branching out of different communities. And we're going to have a workshop about like this traditional carving. You can create your own stamps. So we thought it's perfect for Christmas or like New Year's kind of thing. You can make your own cards. And so it'll be really fun. And he might do, if there's a lot more demand, because I think it's already sold out, like over registered already for December, I believe, you know, so we might open one for January. I won't be here in January, but the staff is amazing, and they are also bilingual people as well, so they also speak Mandarin, so it really helps to be here, yeah.
And I can testify that I was so well received actually here. I really like everything, every of his paintings, and even though there is the language barrier, even for me, because I'm not my first language is not English, yeah. So it was, I was super well received, and I actually could see much of his passion trying to translate, some people trying to translate and bring something. It was really nice to have to be here.
Nice.
And I thank you so much for commenting a little bit on his work. I'm actually so curious to know more about it.
Yes.
What is the next Vancouver event?
Okay. So for...
Is the carving here, first of all?
The carving is here in December 21st.
Okay.
And then, so if you guys go online to see if the register open, if it's already like full, then we'll probably announce pretty soon in January, there will be another one, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And then there is another, you said open for in February, right?
So like my company has a project with the Push Festival at the Vancouver Art Gallery in February. So February 6, 7, 8, I believe, yeah. Yeah,
you're
it's
an
a project
as well, right?
Yes, I'm.
And you study
at
SFU?
I went to SFU. Yes.
Oh, we have so much to talk.
Yes, we do. Yeah, yeah. That's awesome.
Okay. That was amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. So.
And welcome back to the show. What you have just heard is a quick introduction with Cheryl, the son of Jackson Chen. He's a really famous artist from Taiwan who now resides in Vancouver, actually for a few years already. And this is the start of his career back here again. So I think that what I want to start sharing is that he's an incredible artist. It was amazing to be at his exposition. And because he's the senior in residence for Intergenerational Sharing Project, it was it brought up some other questions on what is the role of connecting different generations, what are the hardships. We had some really interesting talks in China, and yes, Jackson's work is a beautiful fusion. It's a mix actually of Chinese heritage with visual art education. He's a master of many forms, actually. Oil painting, watercolor, ceramics, printmaking. That's all I know. And his art reflects his deep exploration of the Eastern philosophy. And yeah, he was explaining to me a little bit as much as he could about basically this engagement of his with a creative side and the rational side of the brain and the integration of Eastern philosophy. So it's really interesting if you have the chance of talking to both. So yeah, his career spans decades. Some of his highlights are pieces such as House, which won third place in Taiwan's National Fine Art Exhibition in 1974, and he's now part of the National Art Education Seoul Collection. And yeah, there's a lot over there. I think that's from the conversation that I had with him, some that I could extract is his passion for really sharing his work for younger generations. The first thing that I've been told when I reached there is, oh, this is my mentee. Like there was a woman over there that had trained with him. And there is a lot of the culture intersection that speaks to me. First, because, yeah, of course, Brazilian comes from a really mixed race that speaks to my heart when it comes to how this mixing happens, what is the importance of preserving certain cultures. I'm diving into more of the indigenous preservation right now, and it's really interesting. So, speaking to that song, I would love to play for all of you a music from Chinese American Bear. They are a Chinese band that is located in Canada. Their music is in Mandarin. It's not a really large, big song, unfortunately. But it's good. I really enjoy hearing. That's why I'm playing for you. It's from the album Wah. The song is Float On Baby. And enjoy.
I floated up into the
And what you hear in the background is Chinese Football with Electronic Girl from the album Electronic Girl. It's a really good song. Sorry, the album is from Here Comes a New Challenger. Yeah, this is the music that is following up on Chinese American Bear with Float On Baby. I hope you enjoyed. Both are really good songs. I'm vibing so much here. And welcome back. I hope today's show was of everyone pleased. We had some interesting segments on both the Red Cross, a little bit on Jackson Chang's work. I think that's something that we would like to follow up is on basically how the intergenerational war connections work and what leads from there. I mean, for immigrants' family, maintaining cultural identity, adapting to a new environment is a balancing act and a really hard thing for a lot of people in Vancouver, not only seniors, but also this exactly intergenerational trouble of people who immigrate here and miss their parents, from parents that immigrate here and miss their friends. It's a lot of saudade. I think that's a good word to appear here today. It's translated as miss, but there is not a good translation for the English. It's a Latin word that is present in both English, Portuguese and Spanish, maybe some other Latin languages as well. Anyway. There is a lot to uncover on this feeling, and I think that's an opportunity for us to continue on that. And we had a good news this week. We had a city councilors voting to keep the ban on natural gas. That's what we discussed last week. So I think that's a good thing for us to mention. It's a move that aligns a lot with the city climate goals by 2030. At least this is my opinion. This is not a radio's opinion. It was close 5-5 vote, so we need to keep that in mind while fighting for environmental acts like this one. And just finishing on here, we have next conversations with SFU, conversation with the Faculty of Communication from SFU following just next here. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week, warm, because it's pretty cold outside. We have right now 4 degrees Celsius in Vancouver. And this was my open mic. My name is Iago, and I'll see everyone in the next week.